Good morning, and welcome once again to In Focus. I'm John Sims, and joining us this morning, Justin Hayes, Executive Director, and Ellen Weingert, Collective Closet Manager for the Fostering Collective. Good morning to both of you. Great to have you with us.
Good morning.
Don't forget, In Focus is available online. Just go to ktbb.com/InFocus. In Focus is uploaded to our website by the day after the show airs. Once again, Justin and Ellen, welcome. The Fostering Collective. Now, this is not an entirely new topic on In Focus. Several years ago, there was something going on with, a major fostering and adoption day, possibly at Green Acres Baptist Church. And I remember that Jillian Sheridan, who's been very, very much involved with us from the get-go, I believe was our guest at that time, talking about this particular event and what we can now look back on as just kind of the seed that was planted that has now become the Fostering Collective. Let's kind of start there and go over a little bit of history of the Fostering Collective and your mission and what you're all about, where you are now.
Wonderful. Well, first of all, thank you so much for the opportunity.
You bet.
To share a little bit. There have been several families in just the Tyler area that have had really, first of all, they adopted either whether it was out of foster care or international adoption or just private adoption, but they just really had a heart to share with other people and help others along that path. And so several years ago, we started doing some conferences just to help get the word out and to help equip other people that had a desire to adopt or to foster in some way. And so Jillian was very involved with that, and there were several other families that were involved. But we formed something called the East Texas Orphan Care Network.
I remember that, yeah.
And it was really just a name, just to bring people together. And so we had a couple of conferences. They were held at Green Acres. There were also some other conferences at other churches. But those were, again, just a chance to bring people together. And over the past few years, the East Texas Orphan Care Network has built a little steam. And Christy Sowell came to work for the East Texas Orphan Care Network 2 years ago and started bringing some of our agencies together. Which those would be child placing agencies that work in foster care to place children in homes, and started a collaboration with them. And then this past year, I came on board, and we decided that it was time to make this an official nonprofit. And so just this year, we became a nonprofit. We changed our name to the Fostering Collective and decided to really focus in on helping those who are fostering or adopting out of foster care and helping to support them and helping recruit new families.
So you serve the Tyler Smith County area. Your office is in the same facility that serves as your collective closet, which is a very important topic, which we're going to hit hard on the show today. So basically, Tyler, Smith County, that's your service area. Is that how it works?
That is our primary area, but we also do serve adjacent counties to there, and we're willing to help, you know, anyone in East Texas that has a question or, you know, needs some help getting started.
Okay, let's give out some contact information. And at this point, the best way for anyone to contact you directly is through email. And you can do that using the email address closet@thefosteringcollective.org. And part of your website is included in that. Your website is thefosteringcollective.org. Physical location is in White House, and the White House Family Medical Clinic, actually, 403 Texas 110 in White House, which is also where the Collective Closet is located. They have a number of drop-off locations in Tyler, which we'll go over a little bit later on in the show, but that's just to kind of set the physical scene and let people know how to find out more about you and get in direct contact if they have any questions. And also maybe some answers. And right now, at this point in your existence, I'm sure you're looking for a lot of both of those. But let's move on from there. The overall need for foster care in the area. This is a big issue and an ongoing challenge for you and for the agencies and companies and churches that you work with.
Yes, that is correct. The reality is that the children entering foster care, the numbers keep going up, and we've seen projected a 30% increase just in East Texas of more children entering the foster care system. Currently, just in Smith County, there are about 240 children in foster care, and our struggle is that right now we only have about 140 homes, foster homes that can take care of children. So you can see that deficit there. For Gregg County, the deficit is even greater. And some of these other surrounding counties, every county there's a struggle to where there are less homes than there are the need for foster care. And so what happens is that many of these children, if you can imagine them needing to be placed in foster care, their whole world is turned upside down. But then to make things even worse, they are needing to be placed in other counties. And so they are not only removed from their home, which is something that is needed, you know, for the child at that time, but they're also removed from their community. And so it's very difficult with them trying to start at a different school with people that they do not know. Their whole lives are really turned upside down. And so we are trying to build up more foster families in Smith County and Gregg County and other counties to be able to help with this need.
Justin Hayes, Executive Director, Ellen Weingert, Collective Closet Manager for the Fostering Collective, our guests this morning on In Focus. I'm John Sims. One of the things that you tell us also is that over half of foster families only last a year because of lack of support. What kind of support are we talking about here? And I know that your reason for existence is to fill that gap.
That is correct. So as we've done our research to try to provide more foster families, we realize that most foster families end up giving up within the first year because of lack of support. It's over 50%. And so if you can imagine, you have as many people leaving than you have coming. And so we wanted to help raise the support for these foster families, and the Collective Closet is a tangible way that we can help, but we also want to help with training. We want to help with mentoring. Most of all, we just want to help build community among these foster families. Whenever a family decides to foster, a lot of times they end up feeling kind of isolated. Depending on the age of the child that they bring in, or children, and behavioral things, that there's just certain things that they cannot do that they once did. And so we want to help build community among these families to help them to feel like they have the support that they need to carry on.
And when you're talking about support, you could be talking about any number of different kinds of support, just support from the community, support from foster and adoption agencies, churches, individuals who might be able to help and maybe haven't been able to make that connection themselves. You're using support in a very generic sense. There's just a lot of need for support, as I understand it, in this process, and they haven't been getting it. And now we have the Fostering Collective to try and make that all better. And tell us a little bit about the success that you feel that you've had up until now, how things are different now from the way they were back in, you know, maybe 6-7 years ago when you were still kind of getting off the ground.
Right. Well, as far as support, we are, first of all, we are a faith-based organization. We really feel like the answer is the church, that churches know that they are called to take care of the orphan, and so we want to go through the church, and we have seen a lot of churches connect with this. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, churches want to help, they just don't know how to help.
Right.
And so we as an organization, we want to connect with as many churches as possible and help them to support the families, first of all, that are already in their churches that are fostering or adopting, but then second, to be able to direct other families to them. And some of the successes that we've seen is that we've been able to have some events at churches and in other areas, and we have seen just this summer, we've had a few events, and we've had over 300 people come to these events because a lot of these families don't have opportunities to bring their kids, even just to do fun things. Splash yeah. Kingdom partnered with us mm-hmm. and did a wonderful thing. We had 345 people come just for this one day, and just to be able to see these foster kids laughing and having a wonderful time was great. We did another event at the lake and had several boats there, and many of these kids had never been on a boat. They had never been tubing.
Wow.
And they just had the time of their lives, and so we are so thankful for that opportunity. And churches have come alongside us for each of these events mm-hmm. to help us to carry these out.
Mm-hmm. We're talking to Justin Hayes and Ellen Weingert with the Fostering Collective, based physically in White House, serving primarily Smith County but surrounding counties as well. I'm John Sims. This is In Focus. Website, thefosteringcollective.org. Email address, best way to make one-on-one contact, closet@thefosteringcollective.org. And that word, closet, we've mentioned it a couple of times during the show already. And Ellen, I think we'll kind of toss you the ball right now. as we talk about the Fostering Collective and how it's helping meet the needs through the collective closet. That's something brand new, really. It hadn't even officially gotten started yet, but you started with an open house just last month?
Correct, we did, and we had several people that came out. We are trying to open up a closet so that a lot of these children are placed at all times of the night or in the morning, or they need tangible things to be able to start a family, and that could be even a bed or a stroller or just different than car seats, things that necessities happen and they have to have them. And so we need to put the things in one place so that they can come and get the things that they need.
And the Collective Closet, again, located in White House. Basically, this location serves as your main office. It's at the White House Family Medical Clinic at 403 Texas 110 in White House. And that's where the Collective Closet is located. That's also one of a number of drop-off locations, as we mentioned earlier, that we'll again talk about a little bit later on in the show. Now, you say the Fostering Collective is about meeting tangible needs for people as soon as they get placements. And you mentioned a few of the physical, tangible items that people can donate. How do they donate? What's the best way to take care of that?
We will be open on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 10 to 2 every week, and so they are welcome to come drop things off then. Also, we have several, we've talked about that, we have several drop-off places in Tyler and White House that they can go ahead and drop things off there. We just need to, you need to realize that a lot of these families don't know what age of child they'll be getting, and so at that point they don't really know what the child is going to need, and so this will be a way that they can come and hopefully feel honored that there's somebody that will take care of them.
Okay, you say it's going to be open 2 days a week, and this starts, I believe, the day after Labor Day.
Yes, it does.
I believe that's going to be September 3rd. Tuesdays and Thursdays, starting in September, that's when you will officially be open.
Yes, but if they can't, if a family needs to come to the closet and it's not during those times, they can also contact me through the email, or there will be a phone number at some point, and they can make a time that they could come that would make it easier for them.
Okay, let's talk about some of these drop-off locations. And you have them listed as the White House Family Medical Clinic. That's your main office, the Collective Closet office. And it says 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., so they can just go ahead and drop items off at any point during
Correct.
That time frame. What, 7 days a week, 5 days a week?
All these locations would probably be just weekdays.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay. And we'll run down the others, too. The Burks team of RE/MAX professionals on West Grande in Tyler, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Stewart's Automotive on Troop Highway in Tyler, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. The Genesis Group on Eagles Nest Boulevard in Tyler from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And Express Professionals, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. That's on South Donnybrook in Tyler. And all of those are weekday drop-off points and times. We'll refer you to the website for more information. That's thefosteringcollective.org, and you can also email closet@thefosteringcollective.org.
Correct.
And we have been so thankful that each of these businesses, they are not only drop-off locations, but they are giving, they are helping any way that they can. And we're so thankful for a lot of these businesses. And specifically, White House Family Medical, the space that we are using is donated space that they're allowing us mm-hmm. to use for this closet. So we're so thankful for that.
Okay, we've talked about the tangible needs that the Collective Closet takes care of, but there's more to it than that within the auspices of the Collective Closet under the umbrella of the Fostering Collective, and that is connecting resources of local churches and individuals to meet more needs. We've really, by implication or otherwise, been touching on that all during the show today. Let's talk a little bit more, though, about maybe the nuts and bolts of how that works, how the Collective Closet works to make those connections that are so important.
Right. Well, we already have connections with many churches here in the area, probably about 20 churches that have helped us in some way. And some of those churches are taking care of specific things like pack and plays or strollers or things. And some are giving donations, monetary donations, to help us to stock
local
the
news
Collective
radio,
Closet.
News,
and
weather,
so
talk,
as these churches help to donate,
FM,
then we will keep these items.
KTBB,
but then, as they have people in their churches that need items from the Collective Closet, then they will send them to us and we can provide those items. And so it really just, you know, a lot of these churches would love to have a small closet themselves, but it's difficult to run and maintain, and so this way we can have one closet that many churches can access at the same time.
Very good. Now, whom does the collective closet serve? We're talking basically kinship, foster, and adoptive families. The foster and adoptive families, those terms are quite familiar to most people. They at least have a basic understanding of how it works. And, of course, if people have any questions about that or anything else we're talking about today, they can ask you guys. Yes. But the kinship piece. Now, we're talking about relatives outside the nuclear family for the most part. Is that what we're talking about here?
That is correct. Anytime a child is placed with a relative, those relatives usually are not ready to be raising another child. And so they don't have a lot of the tangible things that they need to raise that child. And so oftentimes it's the kinship families that have the biggest needs and that get the least amount of support. You know, foster families do get a stipend each month. Even adoptive families will get some sort of stipend. But kinship families very often do not receive any other support. And so we want to be able to come alongside them to help them to be able to feel successful in taking care of this child.
And again, how do they access your services? We've been over that. Opening in September, 2 days a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays from 10 to 2. And also by appointment. If people have an urgent need, a sudden, specific need, they can get in touch with you and make an appointment, and you'll be there for them. And again, Ellen, Justin, best way, email?
Yes, that would be the best way. And if some of these families don't even have ways to get to us, and that's fine. We will figure out a way to get the items to them. To them at that time.
Justin Hayes, Executive Director, Ellen Weingert, Collective Closet Manager for the Fostering Collective, our guests this morning on In Focus. I'm John Sims, and that email address again, closet@thefosteringcollective.org, and thefosteringcollective.org is the website. Phone number, still working on that, still a new organization, but I mean, there's so much communication by email and other electronic means now anyway. It's just really, really easy, I think, for most people to get in touch with you. If they don't have email, there are ways of getting in touch as likely as not through churches that can be supportive in this aspect
right.
as well.
And one thing is also we do have a Facebook page. If somebody feels more comfortable contacting us through Facebook, they can message us through our Facebook page. And that would be the Fostering Collective. If you search that, then you can get to our page.
Okay, moving on to how the community can help. And we've already talked about that some as well. I know you had the big open house where you collected items in July for the collective closet. What are some of the other ways that the community can get involved with this?
Well, first of all, we do have a large need for new foster and adoptive families, and we would love to help answer any of your questions. And the best way to contact us is through our website, and really our website is geared towards helping you to figure out this complicated system. We know as fellow foster and adoptive families that it can get complicated, and so we want to help be your guide so that it does not seem too complex. There's so much research that we have already done, and there's no need to for you to have to start that all over. Allow us to help you with the research that we've done so that you can get started in that way. If you do not feel like that is something you are equipped to do, we do need families to help support these foster and adoptive families. And so there are other ways that you can connect and to help these families. One of those ways is to wrap around these families and to be a support base. You know, and the goal there is, say you have one foster family, if we have three or four other families that can help wrap around them, then that's wonderful. I know that we are a foster family, and we right now have an infant, and we could not do what we do if we did not have the support of several friends that just really have helped us in so many different ways. And one of the biggest things with foster families is you actually have to be certified to be a babysitter for a foster family. And so the Fostering Collective has collaborated with 12 different agencies in the area to provide a certification for babysitters, and we hold that about every quarter so that people can get certified to babysit. And our next one will be in October, and that's a wonderful way for families to come alongside these foster families and help in that way. If you don't feel like one of those is what you feel like you're best equipped to do, then we of course can use donations at any time, which we accept through our website. You can do monetary donations, and that will go to help in all of these areas. But you can also, like we were saying, you can give some of these tangible things. And anytime you go to Walmart, if you want to pick up diapers or wipes or anything like that, another great thing is gift cards. Yeah. Especially for our teenagers, we want them to be able to choose some things. If they need some clothes, we'd love for them to be able to choose. And so anytime you want to donate a gift card, then that is a huge help for us to be able to give those to some of these families.
Mm-hmm. And you said you were earlier, you're a nonprofit. You are a 501c3. So in case people need to know that, if they're going to make a financial donation or another type of donation. I also noticed that you can purchase items off the Closet Amazon wish list located at thefosteringcollective.org/closet. So that looks like another neat way and probably very easy way to help out.
Yes. You just pick the item and it will ship to us.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes it very simple. And we will also, you know, be able to see who it is from. And so we can acknowledge that you gave that.
You bet. Justin Hayes, Ellen Weingart from the Fostering Collective, and also one of the main pieces of the Fostering Collective, the Collective Closet, based in White House, serving Smith County and surrounding counties, our guest this morning on In Focus. I'm John Sims. We've talked about donations, and it's pretty much standard issue on this show for us to ask about volunteer opportunities. And basically, everything we've talked about so far has been a volunteer opportunity. Do you use other types of volunteers as well?
We do have some opportunities at the Closet because we have things coming in. We have just lots of thank you notes to write and things like that. And so if there is somebody that would like to volunteer after we get open, we will have times for those volunteers to come in and help at the Closet.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Justin, you mentioned something a few minutes ago. Your family is a foster family, and that brings to mind the fact, I don't know if we talked about this so far, this organization basically was founded by foster parents, and I understand that the bulk or maybe even all of your staff are basic, the core of people that run the show for you, are they all foster families?
Pretty much, yes. We have Christy Sowell, who is our program director. She and her family adopted a sibling group of four out of foster care all at the same time. So they went from a family with one child to five children.
Mm-hmm.
And so she understands things very well and understands the ongoing needs. You know, we know that once somebody adopts, there are still many needs. And as we walk with our children who have come out of many times just different kinds of trauma. My family, personally, we have three biological children, and then we adopted two out of foster care about 7 years ago, and then we were also fostering. And several of our board members are adoptive parents as well as foster parents. And then as well, anybody that's representing a church, we have point people at many of these different churches,
right?
And these are fellow foster and adoptive parents that understand the need and want to help those around them.
Mm-hmm. And I guess it wouldn't hurt if we clarified one thing. I think folks have probably already picked up on it. You call yourselves the Fostering Collective, but adoption is also a very, very important, maybe even a critical piece of what you do. And we're basically talking about going from fostering and on to adoption if all the pieces fall into place in a scenario like that, right?
Right. And we are faith-based. We believe that God has called us to help these children in need, but also help the families. And in the fostering sense, we would love people that can be champions for the biological families. We believe that the best place that these children can be is in their biological families. And if we can help these biological parents to get their feet under them and to be able to work through whatever services they need to work through, then that would be the best case scenario. But we also need families that acknowledge that if that is not an opportunity for the children to go back to their biological families, that we need families that are willing to adopt these children. children mm-hmm. and to provide a loving home for them.
Sure thing. Justin Hayes, Ellen Weingart with us this morning from the Fostering Collective. I'm John Sims. This is In Focus. Website, thefosteringcollective.org. Email, closet@thefosteringcollective.org. And also Facebook. Those are your, I guess, three main contact points, at least for the time being, as you continue to build and grow stronger. A few minutes left in the show, and some of the things that I noticed on the website, if people have been listening to the show for the last 25 minutes or so and still have some questions or don't know if it's the right fit for them, I think it's important to note, as you do on the website, that as foster parents, you have faced the same questions that some of these folks might be facing right now. And I'm going to call out a few of them. Do I have what it takes to foster or adopt? Where can I find car seats or a therapist or anything else that'll work for my kids? What if I need a break? Who can I talk to for help or counseling? And then the clincher, I don't know where to even start. Well, you can start with the Fostering Collective, or at least strongly consider starting with the Fostering Collective. And any comments on any of those or anything you'd like to say to embellish just the fact that people do have these basic questions and the Fostering Collective is in the business of answering them and then some?
Right. I think one of the biggest things is to know that we are people just like you that have worked through this complicated system. And so many times I've heard people in the past say, how do I even get started? And there just hasn't been a real clear answer. And so if anything else, we want to help be a guide for you. We want to help answer some of those questions. You know, we want to help you understand it, if this is a good fit for you. And our website helps walk through some of those things. And some of those questions that you just asked, we have about 28 questions and answers on our website. And those are just real questions that people have asked that just are just getting started and are just wondering things. And we want to help answer those questions. We want to help provide the resources that you need. We do know therapists in town that can help with children coming out of trauma. We do know even other closets in the community that can provide different things for these families. And we do know churches that are reaching out and trying to be more foster friendly and adoption friendly, and so we want to help you to answer some of those questions. We want to help guide you so that you don't get stuck in the muck of this complicated system and not feel like you can move forward.
Mm-hmm. And all of that is addressed on the website in a number of different ways. Creating healthy, thriving, Christ-centered foster families, all about getting what you need without the confusion and without wasting your time. That sums it up as well. There are a number of different things on your website that really sum up what you do from different perspectives. Another one, how can you become a wraparound family? We talked about that earlier. You can find out how to do that. If your company wants to help support families, you can find out how to do that by contacting the Fostering Collective. And I think you said about 20 churches. It says on your website, you partner with 40-plus agencies, churches, and organizations that give you the resources that you need to thrive if you are a foster family or want to be foster family. And that foundation, if you will, that foundation alone just seems to say so much about you and what you're at the ready to do to help if people need help from you.
One of the things that we are referred to as is a bridge organization. What we want to do is we want to bridge the gap between all of these different organizations, churches, agencies, even the legal system and everything else. We want to be able to bring all these groups together to be able to provide what these families need.
Okay, and we have about a minute left in the show. I'm going to kind of take the ball here and sort of sum things up a little bit as we get ready to tie it all together. Talking to Justin Hayes and Ellen Weingart with the Fostering Collective, based in White House, serving Tyler, Smith County, and surrounding counties. Website is thefosteringcollective.org. Email is closet@thefosteringcollective.org. Myriad opportunities for donation, volunteering, and just general support. If your church wants to get involved with this, certainly you would welcome any church that's not already involved to jump on board with you. The Collective Closet, located on Highway 110 South in White House, doing a couple of major things. Connecting resources of local churches and individuals to meet more needs, and of course meeting those tangible needs for people as soon as they get placements. drop-off locations, White House Family Medical Clinic, that's where your main office is located, and then several businesses that have drop-off locations as well in Tyler. You can find out more from checking the website or shooting off that email. That's about it for the show, though, this morning. And Justin Hayes, Ellen Weingart with the Fostering Collective, very informative, very interesting. Thanks so much for coming in and sharing what you do.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
You bet. Justin and Ellen with the Fostering Collective, our guests this morning on In Focus. I'm John Sims. As always, thank you for joining us, and we will see you again next week on In Focus.